stand before you this morning humbled at the presence of all of you here today. Friends I've known over the years, and it's just good to see so many here today. I told Pauline and Ben a while ago, I said, well, if this is the case, I needed to have announced I was leaving every Sunday for about the past year or two. But I do appreciate your being here. And if you get around James Tucker, you better check me in your pants loops. When James and them came here, he used to stick chewing gum wrappers in my belt loops. And I'd get up here and people would be staring and I'd feel and I knew Tucker had been around. And Linda Grice is here, our dear friend for 25 years or so. And it's a surprise to us. And we love Linda like she was family too. So, you know, we've been through a lot together. But all of us have. And this morning, I'm going to deliver my final sermon as minister of this church on our love for God. It's easy so many times to forget that loving God is the very basic and fundamental principle of our Christian faith. I read this quote and I borrowed it for this morning for this reading. And this is what it says. Love is the fairest flower that blooms in God's garden. I thought that was put so well. And if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 22, and we'll look at verses 34 through 40. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Notice what the Bible says. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Well, this morning we're going to talk about the first of those commandments, which is to love the Lord our God. And if you look in Mark 12 and verse 30, Mark, in his writing of this, adds one additional comment. He says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind, and with all of thy strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. So as we look at this morning, loving God, as we see from this, involves the total person. It has to be our all. Let's look at the heart. Loving God with all of our emotions. And if you look in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12, the fifth book in the Bible, notice what there was written to the nation of Israel. And now, O Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul. And that brings us down to addition to the heart in our loving God, but our soul as well. And so many people misunderstand what the soul is. Some think it's their conscience and all of these different things. But the soul is that which was made in the image of God. If you'll turn to Genesis 1 and verse 26, And God said, Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So that part of us that is made in the image and likeness of God, is not the physical. Most of us think of God as having a big head and two arms and two legs and two feet and all of that. But God is a spirit. So the spiritual part of us that was made in God's image, we ought to devote it all to loving God. And then the third thing, we're to love God with all of our mind. That is, with all of our intellectual abilities. Whether they be great or small or in the middle, it doesn't matter. But to love God with all of our intellect. And then in addition to heart, soul, and mind, we're to love God with all of our strength. That means with all of the power that we have. Now, you go back and you think about this. He said, love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. What does that leave out? That's why I said loving God involves the total person. The total person. Loving God is a response to God's love to us. Now you think about that. God loved us first, right? He loved us first. You know, just as parents, when we have children, and when that little newborn baby comes into the world, we love that child before it loved us, right? Because that love has to grow and develop toward the parent. And immediately it's there. But we as parents love our children before they love us. Well, let's think about God in the same light. Turn with me to 1 John 4 and verse 10, if you please. 1 John 4 and verse 10. And if you'll notice what the Bible says, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or offering for our sins. Now, what is this saying? God sent his Son to die for us on the cross. I want you to think of a couple of verses with me. I want us first to look at John 3:16 that Jeremy presented the other night in the Bible study class. But I want you to think about that verse with me. For God so loved. And don't put the world in there, put your name. For God so loved you. By your name. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, when the Lord was placed on Calvary's cross, he died for the sins of the world. He died for those from the days past, the days present at that time, and those of us who were yet to come in the future. He died for the sins of the world. Why? For God so loved. And then let's look at Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then 1 John 3 and verse 16. Not John 3:16 again, but 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Hey, what more could we ask from a heavenly Father who loved us before we loved him, and he even gave his life, his Son's life, freely upon Calvary's cross? Knowing that there would be some who would be obedient to the gospel of Christ and become a child of God. He knew there would be a great many that would scoff him and reject him and turn one's back and renounce God. I want us to look for just briefly now and see what loving God involves. What does it involve if we love God? First of all, it involves obedience. If you look in John 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, Matthew didn't say that. Jesus said that. I'm just echoing what he said. But it requires obedience on our part to God. Look in 1 John 5 and verse 3. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." They're not burdensome. But this is a part of the obedience that's required or involved in our loving God. A second thing that's involved is sacrifice. No, I'm not talking about going out and building an altar and placing a ram or a goat or a bull's blood or whatever on that. I'm talking about denying self. You remember what Jesus said, "If any man is worthy of me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." This is talking about self-denial. This is talking about putting God first. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, the writer here, in quoting what Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the things that you have need of." Notice I didn't say all the things you want. But the basic necessities in life. He said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. That's sacrifice. And then let's look at a third thing involved in loving God, and that's commitment, or dedication, if you will. Notice what Revelation 2 and verse 10 says. This is the commitment. This is the "if you do, you will receive." And he says, "And be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give unto thee the crown of life." We all want to stand before God on the day of judgment. We all want to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But you know something? We have to, in our love for God, it involves our being obedient, our putting God first, or sacrifice, and our dedication to God, or our commitment. Loving God includes, those were things it involves, and these are some other things that it includes. First of all, is loving the church. We'll keep the church pure and doctrinally sound and Christ-like in all of our attitudes. Remember, the church is not the building. We are the church. The people are the church, just like children in school. The where they go to school is a school building. They are the school. And we are the church. And it takes every member of the church to keep it doctrinally sound and pure and Christ-like in our attitudes. Like somebody said this morning in our Bible study class, I believe it was Sister Huffman, she said, if you have to tell people you're a Christian, then there's a problem somewhere. And I agree with that. People ought to be able to tell by the life that you live. And then a second thing that's included in addition to loving the church is to love the truth. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 119 and verse 97. And notice what David said. "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And the Bible in the Old Testament also says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then we look at John 17 and verse 17, and it says, Thy word is truth. So we have to love the truth. And you know what's so sad about it? Is that men today will perish if they're not obedient to the truths of God. Men will be lost. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10, you got to remember, as we turn to 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10, the old devil's out there doing all he can to make you mess up. He's out there throwing everything there is to you for you to take it. It's like casting when you go bass fishing. You're going to try different lures till you find the one they like, right? Well, guess what? That old devil's trying a new lure every time he throws out. And he'll throw it out and he'll bring it in. If he doesn't get a strike, what will he do? He'll take that swivel and he'll change that lure and he'll cast it again. And you know, he doesn't get backlashes in his lines. His goes out without any kinks and knots, because you're the kink or the knot that he's after. And he reels it. Oh! He got a strike. And you know, once he hooks one, he's going to try again. Don't you know when you go fishing, the more you catch, the more you want to catch? That's the way I am. I'm greedy when it comes to that now. I said, then fish. I have me about six poles set out around me and my reel, and I figure if one comes by, I'm going to get him. Well, that's the way the devil's doing. He's out there. He's got those lines just going. And we have to make sure that we know the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And then the third thing here that loving God includes, in addition to loving the church and loving the truth, is loving unity. Harmony. In Ephesians 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In other words, the Lord's house is not to be a battleground and a place for feuding and fighting and fussing. Never has meant to be. But you know something, sometimes we have too many, unfortunately, that love a good fight more than they love the truth. And we have to be on guard. We have to make sure that our love for God includes or involves obedience and sacrifice and commitment, and that our loving God also involves loving the church and loving the truth and loving unity. There's a question that was asked in the New Testament in John chapter 11. Verses 25 and 26, as Jesus had come to Bethany and he was having a conversation with Martha, the sister of Lazarus, who had just passed away some few days. And Jesus asked her, do you believe you'll see him again? And she said, yeah, in the last day at the resurrection. But then I want you to notice what Jesus said to her. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he asked that question, believest thou this? Believest thou this? We have to be obedient to God. We have to make our sacrifices, putting God first, and make that commitment to Him. And if we do, we can answer that question that Jesus asked Martha when He looks at us and He's going to say, believest thou this? Yes, Lord. But you can't say yes, Lord, if you haven't been obedient to the gospel of Christ, if you haven't been denying yourself and putting God first and making commitments to Him. In closing, I want to ask you this question. How much do you love God today? How much do you love God this morning? How much do you love God right now? I want you to think of all that God has done for you. I'm not talking about for you to think about what God's done for me, because I'm thinking of that myself. You think about all that God has done for you and the blessings that He has provided you with. You just make that thought. You think about that. And then turn around and ask yourself this. Well, is it asking too much for me to love Him enough to be obedient to His word? To put Him first in my life and to make that commitment unto Him? Is that asking too much? You know, I paused purposely there for a moment. And you know, when all things are quiet and you pause in silence, you think, whew, that was a long time. Compare that to being lost in all of eternity without your obedience and sacrifice and commitment to God. You know, in Ephesians 4, the Bible speaks of the oneness of the church, the oneness of faith, the oneness of unity, the oneness of the one God, the oneness of baptism, and also included in the Bible is the oneness of the plan of salvation. There is no way to come to God but through Jesus. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but through me. Just think, this morning, here's the plan of salvation. Hear and believe God's word. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, without this faith, it's impossible to be pleasing to God, and we must believe that He is. And then we have to repent of our sins. Luke 13, 3, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That means to spend eternity in a devil's torment. That's the second death that the book of Revelation speaks about. That's eternal separation of the soul from God, from the presence of His mind. And then we have to confess His name before men. No, that's not making confession. When we confess His name before men, Matthew 10, 32 tells us what we have to do. And Jesus said, whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. What confession do we make? What is the same confession that the Ethiopian eunuch had made? What is the very same confession that the Philippian jailer made? What is the same confession that Lydia of Thyatira made? What about all those conversions in the book of Acts? What is the same confession that they stated? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. That's why He said, confess me before men and I'll confess you before my Father. But then on the flip side of that, in the next verse, He said, but if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. And you know, you have to stop and think about that. Hey, we're going to want him on our side when we stand before him as judge, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to want him on our side. But if we never confessed him, he won't be there. If we were never obedient, he won't be there. And then we have to be baptized, immersed, for the remission of our sins. Acts 2:38 tells us, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins. 1 Peter 3:21 tells us that this baptism is essential. Whereunto the like figure baptism also doth now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Don't get in here and take a bath. But the answering of a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Galatians 3 and verse 27 tells us that when we're baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. And then comes the hard part. That's the easy part. And I reference you back again to Revelation 2 and verse 10. The hard part comes after when he says, and be thou faithful unto death to receive the crown of life. You know, the wonderful thing that we have about our God is that he will take us just as we are. We don't have to worry about trying to be someone we're not. We don't have to worry about makeup and false faces and whatever it is we wear to make ourselves look presentable. Because God doesn't look on the outward man. He looks upon the inward man of the heart. How much do you love God? Do you love him enough to come this morning in obedience to the gospel? We sing the little children's song, Jesus loves me, this I know. How do we know? For the Bible tells me. I can't say too much because I won't make it.
It don't matter, you blew it, you don't.
Travis was fine, you You're right. But seriously, these 30 years have gone by quickly. It seems like yesterday we came here, and I was 33 years old. And now, you can add 30 to that, and in a couple of weeks, you can add one more to that. I've had very mixed emotions about this. It's been a hard decision to make. I love all of you. You seem like family. You are family. And it's going to be different for me to sit back down with Sally. She's going to have to learn to come up. I can't sit on that. I have to be up because I told y'all in Bible study this morning, when all that whispering goes on outside today, I'm going to be right out there in the middle of it. I can do it now. You know, when I was a minister, I kind of kept myself removed from it, but I'm going to get right out in the middle of it.
What do you think about it, Joe?
But seriously, I love all of you. Y'all have been very good to us. And this is home. Mom and I one day will be put right out there. And I hope that's no time soon. But I do want to say a special thank you to God
for giving me the chance. To you brethren here who were here when I came 30 years ago, for having enough confidence in me to let me come for 3 months so you could find somebody. And that 3 months has turned into 30 years. To those that are no longer with us, you know, I miss. I can still envision where they sat. I can still see them in my eye face. Some good folks. Good folks. I want to thank my family. Sally has stood by me. It's not always been easy. My children have always been supportive. They never could understand why Grammy and Pappy couldn't come and spend the whole weekend in Chattanooga because I had to come back and be here for Sunday. Sally has been a tremendous help in more ways than you know. She's the driving force. She's the one that's always there. She gets to hear me complain, and she gets to share the joys too. And God couldn't have given me a better wife. So it's not like we're leaving forever. I'm just going from up here, along there somewhere. And if I get on your bench, tough. I think seniority counts a little bit here. I'll be able to sit where I want to. But I thank you from the very bottom of my heart for being the loving folks that you are. You know, this congregation is well known for its love. They say, you come in that place, you get your neck hooked at least 10 times. I said, well, if I was to greet one another to hold the kids, we'd come close. But I do want to say this, as Stephen comes, support him. Give the boy a chance. He's young. So was I. And just be patient with me. And if I could ever do anything for any of you, I'm always here. At this time, I'm just going to ask you to remain seated, and I want you to turn to number 435. Wonderful.
Father, we have trouble with things in this life, and we need each other to give us support. Be thankful, though, Father. Ask you, dear Father, to go through into our life with us when our life is no longer here. We pray to have a home in heaven indeed. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thirty years. It's a long time, brother. And yet it seems so short in a way that, you know, in my prayer you might have noticed that I said that I'd only known him a few years. I got to thinking about it. It's been 10 years. Yeah, we started coming up hunting about 10 years ago, right, Billy? Isn't that about right?
I imagine.
But from the day one I heard him, I was impressed because of the truth that he spoke from this pulpit. I got to tell you, I had a long flowery speech that Jimmy had wrote out for me that I was going to make, but I left it somewhere. But I got to be honest with you, I'm going to tell it just like it is. It's a spur-of-the-moment thing. But you know how ladies are. They think of details a lot better than us men, don't they? We met in our business meeting, and we were going to have a big shindig tonight, going to eat and honor Jimmy. or some of the ladies said, you hadn't done enough. Well, I don't think we could do enough. So they took it on themselves and I asked them if they would do it, and they'd got something for you. And they also felt like it would, and I agree with them 100%, that while your family was here, some of them may not be able to be here tonight. And so we wanted to do it at this time. Yeah, 30 years is a long time. And I've asked Daniel to pick out a song. We want to sing one more song. But this is what we're going to do. I'd like for Sally and the kids, if you've got them here, your family, and you to come up here and stand there. Up here. Now, ladies that got this up, I said, wait a minute. She said, I want you to present this. I said, wait a minute, what about? She said, not after this morning's lesson. I'm not going to do that. If you weren't here this morning, we talked about women, what do we call it?
Elders.
Elders, okay. She elders, that's right. But look, on behalf of the congregation, we wanted to present you with this little gift and the token of our appreciation for all of the service to give. And we've got, you know, it's a sad day in a sense, but it's a happy day. Yes, go ahead and open the cover. We want you to read it. We still have him here. He will be out here. And if I know Jimmy like I know some of you other folks out there, they're going to make sure that the truth is taught from the day they die in this program.
Trying to read that?
You can read both.
Just give the big words if you can.
Leave it up to Raver. Retirement is not a time when things end, but a time when things change. And every change that God orders for our lives is filled with His goodness, His care, and His blessing. Congratulations. We love you in Christian.
In Christian love.
Man, yeah, Church of Christ. Presented to Jimmy Matthews in appreciation.
30 years of faithful spiritual service, preaching the gospel at the Antioch Church of Christ, Shelton, Alabama.
Would you lead us in that song, and each one of you come up and show your appreciation this time. And I picked out this song. By the way, you're still, you should be proud of me. I started when she gave me this stuff, said, you're going to give it to me. I didn't sit down at a sermon thinking about what I was going to say. I had no plans to do this. Okay? But I picked out that song, and I want to ask Brother Daniel to lead it. And hey, 30 years, believe me, to let us all come up here and show them that we appreciate it. Brother Tim has to go back there. The whole family has to part in this. Number 54. Saint, if you, as we sing, we come up and do our appreciation.